This Bible Teaching on Revelation and End Time Truth by David Ebal is titled Sun Darkened.
I'm real excited to get to both halves of tonight's lesson. The first half is on the section of scriptures that I don't believe I've ever covered fully with you, the sun darkened. And then the next half of the lesson goes into the fact that we're saved and delivered through that darkening of that particular prophecy. This prophecy is, as far as I can tell, involved in more scripture than any other single item that I can find in the Bible. It talks about the sun darkened, moon turned to blood, and stars falling from heaven. This is the opening of the sixth seal and should occur at
8:30.
Now, we're not prophesying that the sixth seal will open at 8:30. It's just as though we conduct our lives as though that would be the thought. Now, there's lots to say about the sixth seal, but tonight, Lord willing, I'm going to zero in just on a few details concerning the opening of the sixth seal. Turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 2. Now, why would anyone go to Acts to read about something in the book of Revelation? Acts chapter 2. We'll be reading a prophecy that was written by Joel. This prophecy was quoted by Peter. This is the Pentecostal prophecy. And one reason that we in this age, which I refer to as the Pentecostal age, how many understand why? This is the Pentecostal age. This is the start. This age is the age of grace or the Holy Spirit, when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit and baptized us. This is our age. Starting in verse 14, Acts chapter 2, verse 14, this is what Peter said. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. They had just said, What meaneth this? Others mocking had said, These men are full of new wine. Verse 15. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now can you imagine an ignorant fisherman standing up in front of a crowd of 3,000 or 4,000 people and began to make an address and a delivery of this nature? This man was anointed by the Holy Spirit. This man wasn't just an ignorant person. Now, I know that we're taught that, but listen, all Jewish young men, boys and young men, went to school and they learned and they were literate. You knew that. That's where we got our idea of education in this form. And this man was a literate man and he knew the scriptures. Now, maybe he might not have known them like the scribes and the Pharisees, but he had read them. And you listen to him quote down here, and as we begin to read what he quoted, you'll probably come to the same conclusion. Not only had he read them, he'd been in them. Because listen to what he does with these scriptures. Now, he's not sitting there with a Bible in his hand. You see what I'm talking about? He hasn't been thumbing through and got this. He's talking from his own head, his own mind, his memory. And this is what he says. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. As we get into tonight's lesson about sun darkened and moon turned to blood, I want you to notice that every time it mentions this, it always says, if you call on the name of the Lord, you get out of it. You get saved or delivered, and we'll see the scriptures as we go into it. There is no wrath for those who call on His name. So, I would really love to stop here and talk about all the details of the fifth seal. But would you look with me and agree that verse 17 has already occurred? Verse 17, that's about pouring out the Spirit on all flesh, daughters, prophesying. Would you agree that has occurred? All right. Now go to verse 20. Has that occurred? Not yet. Sun, dark, moon, are in the blood. All right, then somewhere in between verse 17 and verse 20 ought to be where we are. Do you see what I'm talking about? If 70 is already finished, 20 is yet to occur. How about 18? Has that occurred? All right, how about 19? 19? What do we got here in verse 19? Pilots call it industrial overcast. Well, let's see. Verse 19. Wonders in heaven above, signs in earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor smoke. Would you agree that that's pretty much a description of the day in which we live?
Amen.
This day, right now. Signs in heaven above. Has there ever been a day like this day?
No.
With more signs in heaven above. Tremendous signs in heaven above. And earth beneath. Signs in earth beneath. We just got a National Geographic showing marvelous volcanic pictures. And what's the name of that new island? Xerxes? Is that it? Someone help me with that. Is that it? Xerxes? Up around Iceland, a new island. Huh? All right. Well, you got the idea. There's a new island that's being formed, volcanic action and rumbling. And how many have heard of the San Andreas Fault? What's that? All right. Yeah, and everywhere we look, we see all about us is. And Jesus said that in the last days we would expect this kind of activity. Is that correct? Now, if I use the word terra firma, does that mean anything to you? Have you ever heard of that, terra firma? What? Firm earth, firm ground, the firm soil. Have you got the idea it's not so firm? Wiggly firm. I mean, it seems kind of funny. We laugh about it when we think in terms, it seems pretty solid right now, doesn't it? And yet, when people have been through these earthquake experiences and we find the places heaving and moving around and shaking, it changes. It makes a believer. In fact, most of the people that were out in California are in church now. They're not having the same problem. The churches are full. Well, people realize that in the last days there are going to be some earthquakes. Come to pass in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, this is the section that not everybody's realizing. Do you believe that God is pouring out His spirit on all flesh?
Amen.
All flesh?
Mm-hmm.
Even your sons and daughters? That means the young people and the old people. Is that correct? Well, we're having trouble with the young people, right? Because they're not following the commandments and traditions that our fathers have set up for them to follow. And all of a sudden, the young people, I think, have done us a great service, for they've pointed to us and said, you don't know the difference between what Jesus said and what your commandments and traditions are. I want you to think on this for just a moment. It took the Jesus Revolution or the Jesus Movement to awaken us to the fact that there were some things about love, about honor, about morals that are really true and pure and lasting, and some things about those subjects that we have made commandments and traditions around. And we thought that since we had a commandment around these, that it was God. After all, love, morals, honor, you know, that ought to be. But it took those young people to show us the difference, and consequently, at about the same time, and I'd like to call your attention to the date 1967, from that time on, changes began to occur in nearly every realm. The Pope changed the Catholic Church tremendously, tremendously from that time on. The Methodist Church changed. And lots of churches had a sweeping revival through their denominational influence. And in addition, scientific changes began to occur. And investigations, the geophysical year, and all these things began to arrive on our doorstep. And everywhere we looked, men's ideas were changing. Laws were changing. The courts, as much as I didn't like what they did, still were changing us. And I feel that the whole thing is kind of a snowball. Can you see what I'm talking about? It's a divinely appointed snowball that's just rolling down and gaining momentum of change. And shaking everything so that only that can stand will stand. And all the other systems are now being shaken right out from under us. God is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. One of the systems that we find most prevalent is in the church, especially, the command to tell the women to shut up. Yet this scripture says, women speak up. Says your sons and your what? Daughters shall what? Now, if these are the last days, speak up, ladies. And, of course, if these are not the last days, then shut up. But we believe these are the last days, and we believe that women should speak up. However, not all society or forms of religious environment are ready to accept women speaking in the church. How many know that? Now, that is because they're just not quite with it. Now, we're not going to condemn and find fault with people who are not moving along in this realm, because we've discovered that that stone is going to come crushing down that mountain, and it's going to grind into pieces anyway. And we ourselves have found that many of our own ideas have been ground to pieces. Come on now. And I'd like to suggest that this has occurred since 1967, this date was prophesied in Daniel chapter 8, verses 6 through 14. Now, let's move on tonight about sun darkened and moon turned to blood. In verse 20, it tells us that the sun will be darkened and the moon turned to blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. Now, verse 19 is where we're living. That's signs in heaven above, earth beneath. Blood and fire. And of course we can recognize that these are great signs that are about us in the newspaper. And vapor of smoke. But in Joel chapter 2, it tells us, and there shall be signs in heaven above, earth beneath, blood and fire, and pillars of smoke. The word pillar is used instead of vapor. The word pillar back in Joel is in Hebrew. And the word pillar is translated, or you can actually look up that Hebrew word for pillar, and it has two meanings. You've heard of lots of words with two meanings, haven't you? I mean, this isn't new. You can look it up. And if you look up the word for pillar, it has two meanings. One of the meanings is, I told you, pillar. And the other is palm tree. Now, a palm tree is like a pillar anyway, you know. But what's a palm tree also like? A mushroom cloud of atomic bomb. So he says, blood and fire and atomic bombs of smoke, if you'll see it that way, or mushroom clouds of smoke. We're in the time of verse 19. Verse 20 should start in 2 minutes. Now, if it doesn't start in 2 minutes, we're not prophesying that it will, but we just believe that it's right around the corner. This is the sixth seal. Turn to Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. And it gives quite a description of the a detailed description of the opening of the sixth seal. And I beheld when he opened the which?
Sixth
seal. Lo, there was a great earthquake. Sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell on the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Now, we don't have the time tonight, and I don't think I should go into all of it and read every bit of the Scripture, but let me try to say this. The sun darkened, moon turned to blood is a description of the sixth seal in the book of Revelation, Revelation 6:12. Now, we just saw this in Acts chapter 2, the same things, Acts chapter 2, verses 20, the opening of the sixth seal. And it's part of the Pentecostal prophecy. That's very important to see. Because we are still living in that same time frame. Can you see what I'm driving at? This is still part of that prophecy that Peter referred to. And that's not over. That time frame isn't finished. Now, it might be. Might be that it finishes in a couple of minutes, but it just hasn't gotten to that stage yet. Now, that's another reason that this phase should be so important to us, because it's our Pentecostal prophecy, our age. We're in that age of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit is bringing all things to our remembrance, where the Holy Spirit is that actor, or that, can I say, well, there's one mediator between God and men, but the Spirit becomes our what do they call it? Paraclete? Is that the word I'm looking for? Well, it is the one that makes the actions in between us there. And the Holy Spirit, you see, Jesus said, I got to go away so the Father can send the what? Comforter, which is the what? Holy Spirit, and He'll bring all things to your remembrance and tell you whatever I've said and so forth. This is the period when we are right now, and that's referred to in Acts chapter 2. However, this is such an important thing that I've tried to write down several of the places where you can also find this same idea brought forth. Matthew 24, starting in verse 29, talks about the same thing. Sun darkened, moon turned to blood, stars fall from heaven. Mark 13 talks about the sun darkened, moon turned to blood, stars fall from heaven. Luke 21 talks about the sun darkened, moon turned to blood, stars fall from heaven. Isaiah 13 talks about sun darkened, moon turned to blood, stars fall from heaven. Isaiah 24, and on it goes. We have a tremendous list here. Several from Isaiah, Ezekiel, Joel, Revelation, Amos. All these prophets saw this event. And with so much scripture and so many prophets looking into this, don't you think it behooves us to look into it ourselves, especially since we're so close on the edge of one age and the beginning of this new age, that the detail of this tremendous event must be extremely important. Can you see where I'm driving at? I mean, it's all through the Bible. And so, let's try to take a little time right now and study some of the detail involving this event. Right now, I'd like to go to Luke 21 and see some more of this detail. Luke 21, well, this is in 25. Maybe we ought to get around a little further. Read some more. I'll start with verse 25. There shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things of which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption, what? Your redemption is here. Is that what it says? Draweth nigh. In other words, it's near to the time, but it's not quite. And therefore, if you see these signs, you look up, because pretty good chance that you're going to be the ones that are here when it happens. You see what I'm talking about? It's near. All right. And when they... let's get the fig tree now. When he spake a parable, spake unto them a parable, behold, a fig tree in all the trees. Now, Matthew refers to this as the fig tree, and most Bible commentaries talk about Israel being the fig tree. I'd like to call your attention to the fact that no place in the Bible is Israel ever referred to as a fig tree, except in the margin notes. Israel is the olive tree. Israel's always been the olive tree. And the margin notes in the Scofield Bible call Israel the fig tree, but that was just an assumption which he had a right to make. However, unfortunately, because it did end up in the margin notes, now we find throughout the whole world people thinking that the parable of the fig tree refers to Israel, and it cannot. Here in verse 29 it says, the fig tree and what?
All
the trees. Do you see what I'm implying there? Well, it was fig tree in Matthew, but it's all the trees here. Now, this is a parable. And he says, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. Now, let's stop and think about this. Suppose for some peculiar reason that all of the doors and the windows in this basement got shut. And somehow we were here in this basement for a long period of time. Days went by, weeks and months, and we didn't know what the season was. There was something here, and we kept eating, and everybody was still healthy. Are you following? I'm trying to draw a hard picture for you. All right. Then something occurs, and we find that someone makes their way out, and we can all stand outside again. Would you be able to determine the season? By the what? By the trees. Well, how would you know?
Whether there's
sprouts, leaves, fruit. Oh. You mean if there were... Suppose you went out and saw green leaves. What would you know? All right. Or the buds. Or the dried up leaves. Or, you know, just a little bitty twigs. In other words, you can tell by the fig tree and all the trees what the season is that correct?
Amen.
Now this is a parable, and it says, when you begin to see these signs, know that it is near, even at the door. What signs? Sun darkened, moon turned to blood, stars falling from heaven. All these signs, it's near. Can you see what I'm driving at? This is a parable. The fig tree is a parable, and all the trees are a parable. And they say, when you look and see the sign, you yourself can tell what's about to happen, can't you? And if you see a tree with twigs and no buds, you know that the next thing that's going to happen is it's going to have buds. Isn't that right? You could tell that. Well, so he says it's the same way here. It's going to follow a pattern. Now, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now at hand. So likewise ye, when you'll see what? These things come to pass. Know that the what?
Kingdom of God.
Kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Well, where is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God?
Righteousness, peace, and joy.
Romans what? 14:17. In the Holy Ghost. And that righteousness, that peace, and that joy is nigh at hand. Well, that ought to tell you something right away. That it has been God's prerogative, and He has lined it up this way so that the body of Christ is coming into this relationship and hasn't really had a real strong manifestation of it yet. But it's nigh at hand when you see these things. The kingdom of God. Can you see? Now, the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven are synonymous terms. I'll stop here and watch your eyeballs for just a minute. Are there any arguments? All right. We could go into Matthew and take a few scriptures if there was a problem there. Kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven are synonymous. They're used synonymously throughout the scriptures. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of heaven, the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. The kingdom of heaven is within us. Is that right? And yet, how many of you are perfectly aware of the fact that there's lots of days when you wonder where it is? Please shake it one direction or the other now so I can tell. Oh, okay. No. Wouldn't want to admit it, but it's still so. It seems like that instead of the kingdom of heaven, how many have ever had one of those days when you thought all... Well, you thought everything was in a terrible mess. All right. Now, there's coming a day. There'll be no heartache, no tears. How many know that, too, you see? And yet, this is called a blessed hope. A blessed hope. How many have heard of our blessed hope? It's a kingdom of God. Jesus Christ, the head. The body of Christ bringing forth those parts are ushering in a tremendous kingdom of God, which is going to be on this earth. Now, most people want to die and go to heaven. But the meek shall inherit the earth. And the 24 elders said, we shall rule and reign on the earth. And when you see these signs, look up, for your redemption draws nigh, and the kingdom of heaven is nigh at hand. When you begin to see sun, dark, moon, turn to blood, stars fall from heaven, all these symbols, heaven come together, scroll, all these things. Remember that? You see what I'm trying to do here? Then this whole thing comes together, and we say, well, it's right around the corner. It's nigh at hand. You people look up. When we were studying the book of Revelation, and we don't have a whole lot of time to go into that, but when we saw the book of Revelation, that five seals had already been opened, and the seals and the angel messengers interpreted themselves. We saw that the sixth seal was just about to open. In other words, we're here at this line right now. We're living here at this line. And Jesus said that that generation that's alive and remains the opening of the sixth seal is going to be here to see and hear all these things. And it went through in the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Perhaps we can take time to read it in a minute. And it describes all these things in Jesus' terms in Matthew, but also in Revelation terms, it says the very same thing. There's a double parallel. Therefore, we're expecting the sixth seal to open very quickly. And we're looking up, for we are expecting our redemption to draw nigh. However, this must be modified with another thought. Amos chapter 5 says, woe unto you who desire the day of the Lord. It's a day of darkness. It's a day of wrath. It's a bad day. Man runs from a bear, goes in a house, and gets bit by a snake or something. It's, things are bad. Therefore, we're not anxious for the day of the Lord. In fact, during the fifth seal, we find under the golden altar the souls of them that were slain for the testimony which they held. And they cried, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not avenge our blood on them that are on the earth? Can't you see them now gritting their teeth? Get them, Lord. Get them. Beat them up, Lord. Go team. they're saying, just go in there with your sword and slash them to pieces. And God said, well, I'll paraphrase it. He said, shut up and sit down. But he said white robes were given unto them, and it was said unto them that they should rest a little while until it should be accomplished on all the rest of us like it was on them. Now there's nobody yelling hallelujah. Because what I want you to see is during the fifth seal, everybody wants the Lord to come back. Can you hear him crying? Come back, come back, ring your wrath. Settle it, Lord. And it was told, God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but what? All should come to repentance. And as long as God can hold back the opening of the sixth seal, he's going to do it. God is not anxious for this next event. Now, in a sense, we are, but in a sense, we're not. For it will really test your fiber. This will be that greatest test of all to discover that thing from which we're made. This next great event, the opening of the sixth seal, will not be a tremendous, marvelous, happy time for everybody. However, there will be some people who will be having a glorious time. The opening of the sixth seal is either glory or gory, and it's according to which side you're on. The fifth seal is the harvest of the wheat. The sixth seal is the harvest of the grapes. Tonight, we have the choice of being grain or grapes. You're going to be in one of the harvests, and everybody is going to be harvested. Every person here will either be with the grain or the grapes. The grain harvest is a golden wheat harvest. Jesus said, look upon the fields, they're already what? White in the harvest. And we want this to be our seal. And we want to be harvested in, under that golden altar, as the grain, in the fifth seal. However, the sixth seal is about to open. And that sixth seal should harvest the grapes. And the grapes were put in the wine press. I don't remember. The wrath of God. The wine press was trodden without the city. The blood came out. You remember all this? That's the opening of the sixth seal. And Lord willing, we'll get into those scriptures now. But here's what I want you to see. From this line, it's been 2,000 years from the top of the chart to this line, it will be less than one generation. When you see the opening of the sixth seal, sun, darkening, moon, turn to blood, look up for your what? Redemption draweth nigh. And when the seventh angel sounded, I heard a great voice from heaven which said, the kingdoms of this earth are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. At the which trump? And 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, we will be changed. This which is mortal will put on immortality. This which is corruptible will put on incorruption. At the what? At the last trump. Now, he tells you in Luke 21 that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand when you get to this point. Sun darkened, moon turned to blood, stars fall from heaven. Now, we've kind of been skipping back and forth, but how many are recognizing it's always the same words? Whether we use it in Matthew, whether we read it in Luke, whether we read it in Acts, whether we read it in Revelation, it all says the same thing, that this is the point. And if you're alive and remain, Jesus said, to this point, this is that generation that's going to be here when He comes. We'll read it now in Matthew 24:29. How Jesus said, this is that great generation. Matthew 24:29. Now Luke proved very completely that the kingdom of God was nigh at hand at the opening of the sixth seal. Matthew will go on and give us a little more insight into this total picture. 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then, shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with the sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, learn a parable of fig tree. In Luke, we discovered it was fig tree and what? All right. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see what?
All these things.
What things? Well, an angel with a trumpet, gathering together the elect from the four winds. The sun darkened, the moon turned to blood. Do you see all this? All right. All these things. So likewise ye, when you'll see all these things, know that it is what?
Near.
What is near? What Luke tell you? The kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Jesus said, it is near even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, there it is. What generation? The generation that's there that sees the sun, dark, moon turn to blood, the one that sees all these things. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till what? All these things. Praise God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my logos shall not pass away. Jesus told us that if we can be alive and remain to the opening of the sixth seal, we'll be alive and remain to the blowing of the seventh trumpet. However, during that time, there's going to be quite a mixture as the wrath of God is poured on the earth. Now, God, when he poured out his wrath, always poured out his wrath on the bad people and the tribulation on the... He never told good people that they'd get his wrath, but he told them over and over again they'd get his tribulation. And Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. Father, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but you would keep them from the evil. Don't let it get hurt. Psalm 91, only with thine eyes shall thou see and behold the reward of the wicked. In other words, all this kind of stuff begins to take play and interplay as we begin to see. Now, see if we can get this again. Matthew 24:29 started out with the sun darkened, moon turned to blood, and taught us that this generation that sees this is going to see all these things, and the kingdom of heaven is nigh at hand. Now, here's part of the problem. The kingdom of heaven is not established at the opening of the sixth seal. It's still, say it, nigh at hand. It's still right out there. If it's nigh at hand, could you say it's nearly within reach? Is that close enough to you? You can almost get it.
You can almost taste it, can't you?
I mean, we're that close to the kingdom of heaven. All right. Now in Revelation 6:12, it went ahead and talked about sun darkened and the moon turned to blood and stars fall from heaven. That's what Matthew 24 said, sun darkened, moon turned to blood, and stars fall from heaven. Then Revelation talked about the sign of a fig tree. Matthew talked about the sign of a fig tree. Matthew talked about the heavens coming together, and Revelation talked about the heaven coming together. Matthew talked about a great angel, sign of a trump. Revelation talked about an angel, sign of a trump. See what I'm doing here? Every one of these symbols is a double and parallel between Matthew and Revelation. Mark 13 included a lot of the symbols. Luke 21 included the symbols and said, now when you see this begin to come to pass, you know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. It's almost there. It's just coming. Jesus said, this is the generation that's going to... Oh, hallelujah. And I believe I'm talking to that generation. That's why it's so good. I'm talking to some people right now who are going to be here at the coming of the Lord. But these people are going to go through some real shape-up experiences. Can I say it another way? We're going to go through the Lord's boot camp. And I'll tell you, when I went through boot camp, it was not a happy experience. Is there any question about that? I could tell you some sea stories. I wore a sailor suit. And the Lord's boot camp was right around the corner. Now, Isaiah has some more to say about this. So let's turn right now to Isaiah chapter 13, verse 10. Isaiah 13, starting here, I guess, we ought to go back, try my old tactics and go back one to nine. The day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger to lay the land desolate. And he shall rapture his children out of it. Is that what it says? Oh, what's it say? Destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of the heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened and going forth. The moon shall not cause her light to shine. Oh, we go on. Verse 13 says, he'll shake the heavens, the earth, and move out of their place. So far. Do you get the idea? All these symbols are the same things that we've been reading before. Go to Isaiah 21:25. Isaiah 21:25, pick up another concept, the same idea here. Well, praise the Lord. How about 20? Wait a minute. No, I'll find it in a minute. Oh, I see. I see what I did. 24. You're right. Isaiah 24, verse 20. There shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. How many have heard this scripture before? How many knew that was in the Bible there? In other words, pole changes. All right. There shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. 23. And the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed when the Lord of hosts shall reign in what? Mount Zion. Now what's Hebrews 11 and 12 talk about? Coming to Mount Zion. See? And the spirits of just men made perfect. And when the Lord reigns there and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously, the moon be confounded, the sun shall be shamed at that period of time. Isaiah 60, please. Turn with me now to Isaiah 60 to get the idea of this, the importance of this event. There ought to be one more in Isaiah. 1, 2, 3. Isaiah repeats himself four times. He tells the same story four times. Looks like I missed that one because I got three in Isaiah, and I don't know where I've...
You have 63 down there, too. Down there at the bottom, you have 63.
Oh, yeah, but that doesn't count. That's part of this. There's another one. I don't know where it is. Well, anyway. 60:19 right now. Well, it says, the sun shall be no more light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give her light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Praise God. Of course, this would be... Perhaps in the New Jerusalem, who knows exactly.
Please stop your machine and turn cassette over.